Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seat. So good. So we're launching today a new theme called God's Broken Heart. God's Broken Heart. And I tell you what, I've just been on a little journey of late about this. And I just love that we've got the theme right now. And we're going to look at God's heart through some stories in the Bible. And we're going to pick a little bit on the Samaritans today, which would be fantastic. And so Jesus had a conversation with a lawyer. Did you know there were lawyers back then? And Jesus had this conversation with a lawyer, and we're going to pick up what that is in Luke 10, 25 to 37. The title of my message is Cross the Cultural Divide. And today we're going to learn and be inspired as a church to do just that. All of us here today are being commissioned to cross the cultural divide. So let's find out what that means for us. So Luke 10 verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'Well, what is written in the law? What is your interpretation or your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" So he knew the law. And he said to him, Jesus said, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "So who is my neighbor?" Have you ever asked that question? Who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered him this way, and he tells him a story. He said, "Well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and then departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side of the road." So John spoke a bit about this last week. "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, come and looked and passed by also on the other side of the road like the priest. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion." He was moved by compassion. "So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come back, I will repay you.' So, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." City Point North, let's go and do likewise. So in this story, the Samaritan culturally should never have helped the man from Jerusalem. Let me tell you why. There was a war, there was captivity that happened to the Jews at one point in history, and they were taken to Assyria. And in Assyria, the Jews started marital relations with the Assyrians. Okay, so you have a cross-cultural thing going on. Now, when you know a little bit of the history, the Jews were called to be pure to themselves, or the Hebrews. And so they started having children, having babies with the Assyrians. And so you now have what's called the Samaritans. Okay, so the Samaritans are Jews that married the Assyrians. They're the Samaritans. So the Jews now don't speak to the Samaritans. and the Samaritans don't speak with the Jews. And so there's a divide. Now, coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he studied this out, there were many hills and mountains and all that along the way. And what happened is the thieves used to dig out in the sides of the hills. It's interesting to study. It was like a bit of a channel that they had to walk through. And so when Dad said to Mum, "We're going on a journey to Jericho," Mum would plead with Dad not to go because there was a very good chance that they would be robbed and beaten and all the rest, because culturally, that's what happened from Jerusalem on the way to Jericho. So you have a Samaritan who should have nothing to do with somebody that comes from Jerusalem because of culture. There's a cultural divide. And you have a priest. Priest represents Mel and I today. And then you have the Levites. The Levites represent the worship team over here in the corner. And the Levites represent anybody who has a role in the life of the church. Now, isn't it interesting that Pastor Gray and Mel walked on the other side of the road and didn't even help that poor person? And then the worship team, good leaders, they followed their leaders and also crossed on the wrong side of the road and didn't help. And the very person that shouldn't have helped at all culturally crossed the cultural divide and helped that person because they were moved with compassion. Let me tell you who was right. All three. But let me tell you who was wrong. The church. There's three type of people in this world. You ready for it? There's non-Christians. So people that don't believe in Jesus and don't give their heart to Jesus. There's disciples of Jesus. So people that, like the Bible says, Jesus said, "Come follow me and be my disciples." So that's what we're all called to. And then there's a third category called Christians. Then there's Christians. We see it in this story. The priest and the Levites missed the heart of God because they were caught up in doing what was right according to the law. The Samaritan that did what was wrong and went against culture, both Jewish culture and Samaritan culture, like, talk about somebody doing the wrong thing. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was mocking. Everyone was judging. And this poor Samaritan person was moved with compassion. In other words, it was the Samaritan that had the heart of God. And let me tell you today, church, what the heart of God is, people. The heart of God is not Christianity. The heart of God is not Sunday church. Is this okay? I'm going there. Keep your heart open. Remember, we just confessed, eyes to see, hearts open, to grow and change. And you even said amen, which means let it be done. All right, see. The heart of God isn't what we do on Sunday. This moves the heart of God. His heart is well pleased when we all come together and worship. But this doesn't sum up the heart of God. The heart of God isn't the rituals and the biblical things that we take out of the Bible and then we go on our cross, so to speak, and we die on these things. Like the priests were, they were trying to fulfill the Torah and do everything that was right. They were so right that they were wrong. They were so right according to the law that they missed the heart of God. The reason why this exists is for people. The reason why this exists is so that people would be united with their Father. The heart of God is people, not law. The heart of God is people, not the Sunday service. The heart of God is people, not us doing everything right. If we did things right, Jesus wouldn't have come in the first place because we would have been righteous already. He came because we can't do anything right. Like, so just give up on it. The Bible even says that he gave people over to their sin. Like, sin is sin. And we get upset with when people are sinning. Well, I just say, go sin really good. Like, if you're not going to give your heart to Jesus and accept his righteousness and his cloth that is white and will wipe you clean as snow, if you're not accepting it, well, sin is sin, so just go sin. Is that okay? It's actually biblical that I said that. It's actually in the Bible. That's not why he came. He came for people. He came for our heart. He came because God has compassion for humanity. And this Samaritan that day was walked and she saw this man beat up. And he was moved. I said she, but, you know, he was moved for that person. Compassion. The heart of God moved. You know what the interesting thing is? We're talking down on the Samaritans right now. You know, I believe that most Samaritans were as Christian as the priest was Christian. You know, when you study this out, the Samaritans still believed in God, many of them. You know, they did the wrong thing in their past. Thank God people don't judge us by our past. But many of them still believed in God. Still had, it even tells us in history that they had temples. They just weren't allowed to worship in the Jewish temple because of their cultural divide. But they still had temples. They still worshiped God. They had laws and all that sort of stuff as well. So we have a cultural divide. They miss the importance of the heart of God. Here's been my wrestle. Just being vulnerable here today. I've been personally wrestling with the tension of too much Christianity. Jesus never called us to be Christians. He called us to be disciples. And there's a mindset that can easily slip in when we think Christian over discipleship. When we think it's more important to be a Christian, a good Christian, than what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, we start getting led astray and being more led by doctrines than who Jesus actually is. In other words, you know, we can look at this in many ways, but I don't want to miss God's call for us as a church. And I'm sure you would agree with me today, because I'm wanting to tick some Christian boxes. Sundays are the number one purpose for the church. Tick. We are all a blessed people. Tick. Everybody dresses well and has Nike. Tick. I don't want to be that sort of church that we're trying to tick these boxes of what it is to be right and what it is to be holy and what it is to be a Christian. I want to be a church where a member helped an old person this week and they invited them back to church on Sunday. That's the tick. I want to be where someone was hurt on the side of the road. So Michelle from the church, from City Point North, crossed over the other side and helped them, then blessed them with some shopping. That's the sort of church tick that I want to be. Where on Sundays we don't expect people to look a particular way or to be perfect when they come. Tick. That's the sort of church I want to be. Not the other one. Making sure our focus lines up with God's heart and not with cultural precepts. And I'm talking about Christian cultural precepts. With cultural precepts. Let's cross the other side. Let's cross the cultural divide and find the heart of God again. Amen? And let's find the heart of God again. And it's people. It's loving people, it's sharing with people, it's accepting people, it's giving to people, it's giving generally, because that's the heart of God. Yeah. Let me tell you this, you can't share your hope without the heart of God alive inside of you. You can't share victory of all that the Lord has done in your life without the heart of God pumping inside of you. See, when we do these things, we see people, not programs. when we do these things, we realize Monday to Saturday is actually more important than Sunday. And if we do Monday to Saturday well, when we get together on Sunday, it's going to be the biggest celebration, and we'll actually be the church that the Bible says we should be, edifying the saints. That's why we gather. We are meant to gather together. All the body of Christ comes together. Oh, my goodness. You know what? You know what we've got? We've got on the opposite side. I'm going to give you a stat. More people give their hearts to God at church on Sundays than in any other way. Did you know that? That's on the wrong side of the divide. This doesn't show me that Sundays is our witness to see people. This says to me that the Sunday gathering back in the old, I forget the Greek word right now, but back in the old, in the New Testament, it says that there is the gathering of the saints. The gathering was outside of the community. Go study this. The gathering wasn't in the middle of the community in a massive temple. Now, we had home churches and all. Don't get caught up on the theology. Let me tell you about the heart of God here. When you study this out, the church was meant to gather together on the outskirts of the community. And what was meant to happen on Sunday is all the saints come together and are edified from the ministry of the pastors, edified by the word of God and the doctrines of Jesus speaking to us through the word, the edifying of the saints. The Sunday is meant to charge us up again so that we do Monday to Saturday really well. Let me tell you this, we should be seeing more people to come into Christ on Monday to Saturday than what we see on Sunday. But that requires something of you. You notice where I stopped? Didn't say me. My gifting and my call of God is to be the pastor of the church, not to be the evangelist. Now, we're all called to evangelize, so I don't stop my ministry there. Don't read into that. But let me say, you have a massive call of God in your life, and it starts tomorrow morning when you wake up. And then when you come next Sunday, I will do what I'm called to do, bring the edification of the Word of God and the power and the love of Jesus Christ to the saints to stir us back up for our Monday morning again. Cross the cultural divide. Will you do that with me, church? Let's cross the cultural divide. I think we need to cross this cultural divide just a little bit more than what we do. And I think we can do it. In fact, I know we can do it. I know that City Point North has been called to this. God's been doing this for 18 months. He's been preparing us. He's been purifying this church. As hard as that's been to watch, I'm so grateful. God's been purifying this church, our lives. He's been, I don't know if you've noticed the messages coming. God's been setting us up for something. The building has been getting prepared over there. We've been meeting and getting prepared over here. But the two are about to collide together, church, in just 3 weeks. This building is not for you. I think Rachel said this before. This building, we didn't prepare it for you. I want you to know that. Come celebrate it with us, and when you see an empty seat next to you, the next week, fill it. Because from Monday to Saturday, we've got a job to do. We've got Jesus to bring to this world. We've got compassion to be stirred inside of us. We have to bring the love of God to people in our lives. There is only one reason why you have someone in your world that doesn't yet know Jesus. It's so you can bring them to Jesus. That's the only reason. If God didn't want it like that, Jesus would have. Did you notice that when Jesus came, he died on the cross. He then gave the ability for sins to be washed and forgiven. And he didn't just wipe the world clean at that point. We didn't go back to the Garden of Eden. Did you notice that? He left us hanging. He's left us to live this life. There's a reason. It's because he has a church. He has saints. And he goes, I'm going to empower them. Oh. In the garden, they ate two trees. They ate from one of the two trees, okay? And when they ate from the knowledge of good and evil, man, I'd correct him if my doctrine's wrong afterwards, though, not in front of people. they ate of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you know why Jesus didn't wipe it clean? Because the knowledge of good, we ate. That's why there's sin, because we also ate the knowledge of evil. All right? The good of God now empowers humanity so that we can be his hands and feet. Are you getting what I'm, are you hearing what I'm saying? Here's another depth, okay? Is that when we ate that, we ate that. Before that moment, humanity, you and I, we didn't need to be the hands and feet of God. Everyone was saved. We were all Christians, you know, followers of Jesus. But in that moment, we ate the apple. And now part of the knowledge of God is that we can do the ministry of who God is in communion with God. Am I getting this clear? Because I'm feeling it. Are you feeling what I'm saying, church? You are not just a person walking this earth in 80 years or you know, so. My dad's 120 years because he wants to fulfill the scriptures. In your time frame, it's all over with, and you're like, I did my best, God. A couple people came to you because I spoke to... Something amazing. I've never seen this. Something amazing happened in that moment when Adam and Eve ate. They didn't even know it. I feel like no one in the world knows this. This is new. It needs to go out. In that moment, the devil, like at the cross, thought he had his victory. Remember at the cross, the devil laughed, Jesus going to the cross. He didn't realize Jesus was going to rise in victory and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The enemy would be under our feet. When that apple bite happened, the enemy laughed in that moment. Knowledge of evil is all he saw. But God said, yeah, you've got the evil. But there's also the knowledge of good. You are good. I'm good. And the knowledge of the goodness of God is in the good. And so God wants to heal this planet in communion with you and I. See, God's not interested in being the best shooter. I'm just seeing cowboys in my head right now. I've got no idea why. He's not interested in being the fastest draw. He's not interested in doing this without us. He's not interested in just going, oh, I'm all powerful and everyone has to do what I say. No, if he was, he wouldn't have given us free will. He would have been a dictatorship God, but he's not. He's a loving, compassionate God. And so with you, he wants to heal this land. And we do that when we cross the cultural divide together. Let's talk about it just a little bit more. In today's scripture, the priests and the Levites are the ones that should have cared. So Mel and I, we should have done it. The worship team, they should have done it. But the Samaritan did it. Let's take priest, Levite, and Samaritan, and let's put them aside. Okay, let's do that in our minds. People and people. Some people have the answer, and some people want the answer. You and I, we have the answer. And the only way they get the answer is when we cross cultures, we cross the cultural precepts that we have as Christians and non-Christians, or they smell, we don't smell, or, you know, at City Point North, we all wear Nikes and dress well, but they come in with no shoes on today. God's been challenging me in this stuff. Because I've been going, God, my heart is this community. Really, God. I don't want a church full of Christians. I want a church full of converted. In other words, you and I, we've been Christians forever. We've been Christians for a long time. Okay, I want people to come to that place and fill those chairs and walk in. But here's the thing, Caboolture's going to walk in. Yeah. Not Carindale. Yeah. Right? They're going to come in their Datsun 120B that still works. Yeah. And not in their Tesla or BMW. Or they might even walk in. Yeah. They might walk in. They're going to come in all circumstances, all shapes and sizes. many will smell. Is this okay to be on? I'm being honest today. Yeah. I ran work for the Dole here, and let me just tell you, first thing I did was go across the road and got deodorant.
Yes.
Right, line them up every day. Here's a spray of deodorant. I'm not saying they're bad people. In fact, I'm saying the opposite.
Yes.
They're God's people. Yes. And I get so caught up on their clothing.
Wow.
I get so caught up on their swearing and their filth talk. Well, they're sinners. Sinners sin. That's what they do.
Yes.
If they weren't sinners, you know, why would they be at the church?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's because they are sinners. They need God. And so therefore there's a church. And
yeah.
So who else would be coming?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm going to be really honest with you. I hope you can receive this, okay? But if you're still coming in 10 years' time and I don't see them coming, I'm going to give up pastoring.
Yeah.
Like, what's the use? I'll go do a life group and I'll get them to my life group.
Yeah.
I'll do that for another pastor.
Yeah.
Like, we aren't here to build Christianity.
Yeah.
We're here to build the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
In other words, make disciples and be a disciple ourselves. I didn't notice Jesus go into the temples all the time, sitting down, crossing his legs, wearing his best sandals for the day, and just that's the Jesus we know. That's not the Jesus we know. In fact, he went to the temples and turned the tables. In fact, I hope I'm doing that a little bit today, just turning the tables. They went in there and they were setting up business in the church, in the temple, and he's like, oh, let's cross the cultural divide. That's just because culture says that that's okay. This is the house of the Lord. And so what Jesus did do, though, is he went to the prostitutes. He went to the lepers. He went to the people that needed love. He put his arm around people that were just downcast and no one seemed to care about. Even the Christians in the temple didn't care for them. Is this okay? No one's getting offended this morning. If you are, just shoot me an email and I'll delete it. But can you see what I'm saying? Like, Jesus saw people, not temples and churches. He didn't see Sunday programs. He saw the people in the Sunday service. His heart is for people. The heart of God breaks for people. And I'm just wondering today, and I'm doing the call out today, would we as a church cross the cultural divide and go, you know what? You know what, maybe I haven't spoken to my next door neighbor because I know that they're already Muslim, or I know that they're Indian, or I know they're from a different culture. Would we cross that cultural divide and say, hey guys, I know that you know I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those Christians. I'm a disciple of Jesus, and I just want to just love on you guys and give you a meal. And you know, this isn't about a religion war. This is just about people loving people, and I want to show you the love that God gives me to give to you. And I tell you this, when they see the love of God in your life, they will go, well, my religion doesn't give me love like that, because my religion isn't based on a person who shares the love in his heart like Jesus does. There's one more story in the Bible about Samaritan, and it's the woman at the well. Jesus crossed the cultural divide when he met the Samaritan woman by the well, and he asked her for a drink. This is what she said to Jesus. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Jews don't, you don't talk to me, let alone ask something of me. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus answered, and he said to her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God. I'm asking for a drink, and you might give me some water. But Jesus said, I can give you living water. That's what he says. There are so many people in this world. There are thousands of people in our community. There are hundreds of people directly connected to your world. family, friends, work colleagues. We don't care for people by preaching Jesus. We reach them for Jesus by caring for them. Let me say that again. We don't care for people by preaching Jesus. That's what Christians do. Preach Jesus, it's all about that. It's all about Sunday, it's all about the sermon. We reach them for Jesus, though, by caring for them. Jesus showed us this in the stories today. Jesus didn't go to the woman at the well, "Oh, I knew you were about to come. I've been waiting for you. Father God told me that you were going to come today. And I just want you to know I'm Jesus." Okay, I know a lot of people call Jesus, but I'm the Son of God. And I was born from a virgin, and I've lived 30 years, and I have a divine appointment today with you, and I want to give you my love. Jesus didn't preach Jesus to bring people to Jesus. He brought people to Jesus by caring for them. In other words, hey, I know I'm not meant to be here. The Jews and the Samaritans, you've got this history. I know no one in the community thinks you're worth it. I know you go to work, or I know that you live on work for the dole. I know you've had 2 or 3 children and you give them all away into foster care. I know that you've been beaten and abused. People leave you on the side of the road. I know you're not loved. And you look like you're unlovable. You feel like you're not worthy of love. This is what Jesus did. On the side of the road, to the woman at the well, he said, "I know you've got husbands, and the one you're with right now isn't even your husband. They call you a prostitute. I know you're the dregs. I know Caboolture, we've got this title here, drug capital. I know that you've been going to church with the Christian badge for many, many years now, and you've never witnessed to one person. I know that. But Jesus isn't looking at any of that. He's looking at people. Whether you're a Christian in the church. Now, I know I've spoken a lot about Christians, and you know I love Christians, right? I'm just trying to show us the heart of God. God knows that they're all that, and He doesn't care. He cares for them, and then they come to Him by showing the heart of Christ. My prayer, church, is that God brings people into this building in the coming years that I struggle so bad that I have to remember this message. Would you have that desire to? You know, I've been thinking this week, do I have to give up on the Nikes? Because I really like them, make my feet feel good. You know, but that's who I am, what I love. And when they come in, that's who they are, that's what they love. You know what I love about Jesus? You've probably noticed this too. Is when we give our lives to God, we can do it however we are. The Bible says He accepts you just the way you are. And I love that. And my prayer is that the church would replicate that, because we're disciples of Jesus. So we accept people just the way you know, it's not our job to make them a better version. That's not yours and my job. We have one job. It is to love them unconditionally as the Father has loved us unconditionally. One job. But what I love about God, what I love about the living Word of God, is that He takes those people and He accepts them with unconditional love. But He does a work inside of them through the Holy Spirit that they will never be the same. Never. transformed from glory to glory. The clothes, the deodorants, the language, all that stuff. God will do that work as He matures them and stirs them and He overwhelms them with love and He gives revelation. But it's not our job. Our job is to love them and accept them. I pray that the host team members one day see someone come in and go, "Oh, I've just got the seat just for you. You know, come follow me." And they bring him down and sit next to Pastor Mel and I. And that John and Rachel go, "Oh, this is your seat," even though their little name tags on there. "This is your seat. We just prepare. I just put my name on there just so no one will steal them for you." Because that's the heart of God. That's scriptural too, by the way. What I just said is that we wouldn't take a rich man and then treat them super well while there's a poor man. Remember that scripture in the Bible? Heart of God is people and nothing else. It's the heart of God. Jesus came. He died for Christians. No. He died for people. For all of us. Jesus was and is saying to us, there are hundreds and thousands of people in our community. And Jesus showed us that we care people into the kingdom of God. We are to have compassion for people, to love people, to help people, to care for people. True Christianity is others focused. When we get offended by the church, we are missing the heart of God. We are a priest and a Levite. When we get upset because no one's using our giftings, we're missing it. Is this okay? I'm just talking a bit straight up. Is this okay? Like, if you want to walk out, I'll give you freedom. You can do that. When we start getting upset because we're not being released, we are forgetting what our role is. It's not your role to release yourself. It's your pastor's roles. It's not your role to say, now is my time, now is my call, now is my ministry. I should be able to do this in the church. I should be able to do that in the church. When we think like that, we do what the priests or the Pharisees were doing even. Okay, they're lining up with all the precepts, all the trying to tick all the right boxes. And we miss the heart of God. The heart of God isn't releasing your gift, although that pleases the heart of God. And He will do that because it's a call and a purpose on your life. But the heart of God is people. And so, can I just encourage us all as a church? Let's not fall into the ticking boxes categories. Let's not see ourselves ticking boxes. Well, my time's come and gone and they should have and that pastor said this and blah, blah, blah. If we find ourselves ticking boxes, we just need to put the pen down. And we just need to step back and just go, whoa, okay, God, thank you for showing me my heart. Okay, but that's not your heart. And so thank you for that, because your heart is people, which means I need to have a heart to serve people, to love people, to be moved with compassion for people. The heart of God isn't your role in the church. That's not the heart of God. Okay, I'm just saying this because I can look around, I can see we're mostly believers here today. So I'm just saying this. The heart of God isn't about releasing you in the church. Because we gather on Sunday. God wants to release you Monday morning to Saturday, and then we come together and celebrate together in an F5 on Sunday. Does that make sense? Can we all stand to our feet for just a moment? I just pray that you receive that. I just went a bit straight there, but can we all just lift our hands for just a moment? Father God, I just pray. I pray with my brothers and sisters here today. Would you give us the heart of God. Help us see people. Help us see people. Help us see the soul that is within every person. Help us see, Lord God, let our hearts beat for people as your heart beats for people. Father God, I pray, my prayer is, God, that I wouldn't be consumed with being used, but I'll be used because, and I'll use my giftings because I'm consumed with you, Lord. Father God, help me cross this cultural divide, not just naturally in the community, but within myself, within all of ourselves, Lord God, from Christianity to discipleship, Father God, and then through discipleship, setting up what it is to be a Christian again. Father, the world knows Christians, but Father, I pray that the world knows Jesus' disciples. Father God, we want to reset up the badge, the title of Christianity, because Father, it represents you. And Father, we know we can only do this when we are truly discipled by leaders that you place, but also discipled by you and discipling other people. Father, I thank you for every person in this church. And I just pray anyone that might be struggling with that right now, but Father, they're going, God, help me, help me. I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you just over the coming weeks and months, revelation, softening, compassion, would you overwhelm us all, Lord God, with that genuine fire and passion for humanity? Because you love us all. We want to love us all too. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. I pray that you receive that, church, today's message. You know, you might be here and you one of the greatest divides that ever got crossed was when Jesus came and gave his life. He crossed the divide of sin having its way on this earth. And he said, sin is still part of the earth paradigm right now. But when Jesus came and rose again, he overcome the power of sin in our lives. So sin actually has no power over a person when they receive Jesus into their heart and they give their heart to Jesus. And so you might be here right now and you've never given your heart to God, to Jesus. You've never accepted what Jesus has done for you, but you've listened to this message and you're stirred inside. And you want God to do amazing things through your life, but you also want to know this love and this compassion that comes directly from the heart of our God. So if that's you, church, can I just ask that we would all just close our eyes? I'm going to pray in a moment with everybody, and we're going to repeat after out loud after me. But every eye's closed. If that's you today, you'd like to give your heart to God, could I just ask that right now you would just boldly lift your hand, just so I can see and I know who I'm praying. See your